Okay, so today I want to go through the exemptions from military service and then discuss perhaps how this is key to it provides some guidance regarding our survival as our survival as Jewish people, how we're supposed to behave when we're being threatened. And we begin our discussion in Perek Chaf. In Perek Chaf, the Torah tells us that when you go out to war, ki teitzei lemilchama al oyvecha, when you go out to war against your enemies, v'ra'isa sus v'rechav am rav bimcha, you see horses and chariots, a mighty nation, nations mightier than you. Lo ti rabbeihem, don't be afraid of them. Ki Hashem elokecha imach, hamalcha meretz Mitzrayim, because Hashem is with you, took you out of Egypt. And then, in any case, the Torah says, when you're going out to war, so what's going to happen? In Pasuk Hey, the Torah says, v'dibru hashotri bela'am le'mor, and the officers will tell the people, saying, mi ha'ish asher bara bayis chadash v'lo chadacho? Who is someone who built a new house and did not dedicate the house yet? Yelech v'yashuv lebeiso. Let him go back home. He doesn't have to. He shouldn't stay and fight. Why? Pen yamus b'melchama v'ish acher yach nechenu. Because maybe he's going to die in battle, and someone else will come and dedicate the house. U'miyayisher nata kerem v'lochilo. Who is someone who planted a vineyard and did not harvest it? Yelech v'yashuv lebeiso. Let him go back to his home. Pen yamus b'melchama, lest he die at war. V'ish acher yichaledu. And someone else will harvest the vineyard. Who's someone who got halachically engaged to a woman? There are two stages of marriage. There's what's called kiddushin, the first stage, and nisu, and the second stage. So who's someone who only did the first stage and he didn't do the second stage? So let him go and return to his house. Lest he die in battle. Another man will marry her. And then Pasuches, the Torah says, and the police officers will then, or the officials will then speak to the people of Amru, and they will say, who is someone who is afraid and disheartened? So let him go back to his house. Lest he, I guess, weaken the morale of his comrades. So, just to summarize, there are three specific categories of individuals who do not fight in war. One who built a house and didn't live in it. Someone who planted a vineyard and didn't yet harvest it or redeem the crops in the fourth year. And someone who was engaged to a woman but didn't marry her. And then you have a fourth catch-all statement saying anyone who's afraid can go home also, lest he lower the morale of his brethren. So the first question we have to ask is, what's the common denominator of all these cases? So what's the common denominator of all these cases? How are all these three examples similar? What would you say?
That they're afraid that they'll die in war, or that they will die in war.
Okay, right. Now, all these three categories are categories of individuals who they will likely be afraid that they will die in battle. Okay? Is there? I think that is correct. But why not specifically say, like, why are these three examples of individuals who are afraid that they're going to die in battle? Why doesn't the Torah just say, anyone who's afraid they're going to die in battle, they should go home? In other words, what's so unique about these three categories of individuals? The person who built a house and didn't live in it. Yeah.
It seems like they're each of the people are each of the categories are sort of in the middle of something.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. So
they started something, but they haven't finished.
Exactly. Right. So these are three individuals who started something but didn't finish it. Exactly. Right. So they're afraid because they started something and didn't finish it. He built a house. He didn't feed it. He didn't dedicate it. He planted his vineyard, and he didn't yet harvest it or redeem it. He got halachically engaged, but he didn't marry her. So why? I mean, I think you're right, Esther. So the question is, why So why are these people afraid? Like, let's think about it. Let's think of this for example, right? The person who's afraid in battle, someone who got engaged but he didn't get married, as opposed to someone who's married and has five kids. I'm just saying, like, who would be more scared of dying in battle? I'm not trying to give anyone a iron horror or anything, but it's interesting that the Torah talks about fear in terms of someone, like, why can't you say someone who already built their house and he lived in the house? So now he's afraid he's going to lose it. It's interesting that the people who are likely to be afraid are individuals who are, as Esther says, in the middle of the process. They haven't finished what they had to do.
In the first three, it doesn't say that he's afraid. The Torah says, you know, you should go back. It doesn't say that the person himself is afraid. Only the last one it says.
Okay, fine. Okay.
In the first three, it doesn't say that I'm afraid.
Right.
It says, listen, you're in a situation, why don't you go back? You know, but okay. It doesn't say that that person specifically is afraid of it.
So you're saying, Penya mus b'machmav isha chay chalenu, you're saying that you want to translate that as it's not that the person is afraid that he's going to die. Is that the Torah is afraid he's going to die?
You know, the Torah says you're in a situation that it's best for you to not to be here.
Why? So, you know, you're saying the Torah feels bad for the guy. No, you understand my question? In other words, are these cases where the person is afraid that he's going to die and then someone will finish the job? Or are these cases where the Torah is concerned he's going to die and someone else is going to finish it?
Right? I think the first three are that, and the last one is he's afraid.
Interesting. So I think the Mefarshim disagree with you.
There's a more fundamental conflict. These cases of military exemption
right. Come
right after it says, where Hashem says, I took you out of Mitzrayim. Don't fear when you're
right. Right. Don't be afraid. And what about, so are these people like, right, so why are they afraid? Right. Right, are they lacking in Amunah? Right. So let's see two different approaches.
Or is it Ein Sam Kinalanes?
Okay, well, Ein Sam Kinalanes.
You should be not afraid, but they...
Okay. So why are these three cases? So we're going to see two different approaches here. The Rashbam says, Yelech v'yashov lebeso. Okay? So why does he go home? So the Rashbam says, Im yerach levavo v'yira mazalo pen yamos v'milchama. So he says that these three cases, if he sees that his mazel, what does it mean? If his heart will weaken, and he sees his mazel like his bad luck, lest he die in war. So what does that mean? So this guy who, let's say, built a house but didn't dedicate it yet, so he's gonna think about when he's going to war, v'doeg, and he's worried. Shema ein li mazal lachanech es beisi, os ishti, os karmi. He says, I obviously have bad luck. Because why? I didn't get to finish what I was supposed to do before I finished, you know, either finished my house or when I got married or I planted and harvested my vineyard. So I'm someone who has bad luck because I didn't get to finish. When we toch kach, because of this, yore lamus. He's afraid that he's going to die. Ushlosha basim hiskir bias v'isha v'ker. The Torah gives three examples of a house, a woman, and a vineyard. Ulvasov, and at the end, kolokol dvarim, miyo isha yor v'racha levav. And then he includes everything, someone who's afraid. Bein be'elu shemanu, bein midvar macherim. Whether these categories or other categories, it seems that the Rashbam is saying that these are just three examples of individuals who, if they are called to war at a time where they haven't finished what they're supposed to do, they're going to assume that they have bad luck and they're going to lower their morale. It's going to they themselves are not going to have a strong morale. They're not going to feel that they will be successful in war. And these are examples of really the fourth catch-all case of someone who's afraid. And therefore, the Torah says, go home. That's the Rashbam's take on this.
The, Rabbi?
Yes.
In the first three cases, it doesn't say anything about being afraid. Is it just a matter of that they might be distracted? And therefore, they're not really into the
right.
military portion of it.
Okay, so that's the question. Right. So, right, in other words, they're distracted. Well, they're distracted that they might die. Why? The question we have to answer, Mike, is why are we more? Why are these individuals more distracted that they might die than someone who hasn't fit? Who someone who already got married and has kids? And why are these individuals more distracted? If you want to be precise in the language, the Torah says what? The Torah says that we're concerned. Let me see. Sorry. The concern is.
But it doesn't say that the individual is afraid he's going to die.
Okay, but he says
penya. He may die.
Yeah, I understand penya musva milchama, lest he die in battle. Veish acher yachnechenu, and someone else is going to finish. So if the guy, if we're saying, I'm just saying, the Rashbam is understanding this. We could disagree with this. Rashbam is saying that the person is concerned that he's going to die, and someone else is going to finish up for him. Why in these cases is this person concerned that he's going to die specifically? So the Rashbam says that the person is concerned that he's going to die. These type of individuals are afraid they're going to die because they had bad luck, that it happened when they hadn't finished something.
It could be that the guy who never got married, doesn't have a house, doesn't have a business, if he dies, he's gone. There's no legacy. There's nothing. You know. But if you have a family,
I understand, but just to be, you know, let's say a person has a family and he planted a vineyard and he didn't harvest it, he would also be excluded. So,
yeah, so
this, right. Okay, I hear you. Okay, so the Rashbam basically says these three individuals are individuals. We have to try and understand, it's a difficult question. Why are these three individuals more likely than other individuals to be more worried about dying? Sometimes, you know, you say you have a whole family, you have more to lose, theoretically, than if you don't have a family. You almost have a family, I'm just saying. So the Rashbam is saying that the person thinks he has bad luck. Rashi, interestingly enough, points out that v'ish acher yachdechenu v'davar shel agmas nefasha suzeh. He says it's anxiety that someone else will finish the job. In other words, the concern is not that he's going to die. The concern is he's going to die and someone else is going to finish the job. It bothers him that someone else will, you know, marry this woman. Someone else will harvest the field. Someone else will get the benefit. It's like the famous story, you know, with Rav Simcha Zelig, the story where this wealthy individual went to a rabbi, Rav Simcha Zelig, his court, and he asked a question about a cow, whether it was a treif or not, whether it was like, you know, non-kosher, as it were. And Simcha Zelig paskin that it was not kosher, but it was a trefa. So he said, okay, it is what it is. And then later on, he had, and it's very expensive, like a cow is very expensive. And later on, he had a court case with another guy, and Rav Simcha Zelig and Rav Chaim Brisker ruled against this guy. And then he started cursing out Rav Simcha Zelig and Rav Chaim Brisker. Now, he lost much less money in the second case than in the first case. But the issue was not that he lost, but that the other guy won. So Rashi focuses on the fact that the anxiety is that he put in all the work and someone else will finish the job. Someone else will get the benefit.
Rabbi?
Yes.
I'm going to the basics here. The problem here is what? He won't give his all in the army. He won't be a good soldier. What are we worried about?
So, let's see what the
Torah. What's the bottom line here?
So it seems if you say that really all four are really the same, it seems to me that both Rashi and the Rashbam are taking the view that the first three cases are examples of a situation where someone's afraid, and therefore what? If you look in what's number of the fourth is like a catch-all, you know, you're afraid to die because of you didn't marry your wife yet, you didn't, or your fiance yet, you didn't harvest the vineyard, you didn't dedicate the house yet. All these cases are cases where because of that you're afraid to fight. Wait, let me finish, Artie. And then, so Pasuk Ches says, "V'lo yimas es levav echav kil vavo." So it seems to reason, you don't have to say this, but it seems to reason that the concern is that you're not only going to affect yourself, but you're going to affect the people around you, and you lower the morality around you. If you take the view that these are three examples of, and they're all the same, and the common denominator wasn't some pasuk ches, that all these cases are cases where you're afraid, and the concern is you're going to lower the morale of other people. That's how I think Rashi and the Rashbam understand it, for different reasons. The Rashbam is that you feel you're someone who has bad luck, so you're going to die. You keep on going, we're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die. That's going to lower the morale. And Rashi is like so upset. He's saying so upset. You know what? I'm not going to live, and someone else is going to finish it. Someone else is going to get all the benefit. And so they're both afraid they're going to die for different reasons and different possibilities. And because of that, he will lower the morale of the other people. Now, what kind of war are we discussing here? So the truth is, what?
Heavens would choose.
Why do you say that?
I don't know.
Okay, that's a good guess. Okay, so there are different types of wars, right? I would say there are at least three different types of wars. One is where someone is trying to kill you. You know, they're attacking, they're invading you, and so, you know, so that you're fighting to defend, you know, your borders. Another type of war is Kibush Eretz Yisrael, when the Klal Yisrael are commanded to conquer Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah. What, right? One is to save the lives. Another one is a mitzvah to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And the third is what Ardi called the Melchemes Rishus, which is a correct term. And that is simply an optional war where you simply want to conquer more territory. And there are certain rules as to when you're allowed to conquer more territory. So it's an interesting question. This rule that anyone who's afraid doesn't have to fight, are we talking about a Melchemes Mitzvah, like an obligatory war? Or are we talking about a Melchemes Rishus, an optional war? What would you say from the reading of the Psukim here? He says to the Melchama Loivecha. You think it's talking about any war? Or you think it's only talking about a war that's an optional war, but maybe not a war that where someone invades you? What would you say?
It's optional because it says Kite says it.
Right. Okay. When you go out. You say when is optional. You don't
if,
have to.
Or if you go out.
If you go out to war. Okay. So the truth is, it's just want to point out, the Rabbeinu Bechaye believes, right, that the Melchemes Mitzvah, even a Melchemes Mitzvah, because then you go out to war, so any war. But that is not, but Baruch and Ardi are represent the dominant view. The dominant view amongst the Mefarshim is that it is not like Rabbeinu Bechaye, and we're talking about only a Melchemes Rishus. So the Sfardo, for example, says, Kisitei lemilchama lechutz la'aretz. When you go out to war outside Eretz Yisrael, Shibu Melchemes Mitzvah, lo hayu shavim aruchei ha-melchama, ela afilu chasem mechedra v'kal mechupasa. There's a famous Mishnah on Sota which says that a bride and a groom are obligated to leave the wedding ceremony, the chuppah, in order, if we're talking about a Melchemes Mitzvah, if you're being attacked. Now the question is, well, the Kala, should women fight a war? So the Radvaz says, it means that the husband goes out to war and the woman provides perhaps different needs for the war. But okay, that's a separate conversation. But what's clear, like, you know, you have these stories, right? In the Israeli army of people who are called up, you know, during Shema Brachos to fight. So, and the Aderes Eliyahu, that's the Vilna Gaon, says as well, the Melchemes Rishus, the same idea, because based on the Mishnah in Sota. Rav Hirsch uses the Psukim as proof that we're talking about a Melchemes Rishus against Rabbeinu Bechaye. So look what he said. He says, "Ki teitzel milchama aloi becha b'maseches sota ba'abdilim be milchemes mitzvah lebe milchemes rishus." In maseches sota, we distinguish between a war of a mitzvah to an optional war. Milchemes mitzvah he milchama hanerechas al pi mitzvah sa mafurasha shel Hashem letzarach kibush aretz. A milchemes mitzvah, that's a war that was arranged based on a command of God for the purpose of conquest. Kemo ched milchaba litzorech hadifas hatkafa yimachavas mitzvah. Also, a war to fight off an invasion. So that also is a milchamas mitzvah. Sha'ar kol ha-milchamos, hey milchamas rishutz, all of the wars of milchamas rishutz, optional. V'gam milchamas shaloba la-divas hat-kafa el-arak limute dachim del-lesi alayu. Also a war that you're not coming to ward off an invasion, but let's say you want to thin out the Gentile armies nearby, so that they won't attack us. You want to weaken them. That gamhi mechamis rishus. That's also mechamis rishus. It's only mechamis mitzvah if it's the conquest, the initial conquest of Eretz Yisrael that Yeshua was commanded to do, or if you're actually being attacked. So how would you view the 6 Day War, right? I don't know. For sure, but I think Rav Hirsch would say that's a mechametz mitzvah, because they were mamish threatening, you know, to attack the Jewish people, you know, Israel. That was a preemptive defensive attack. I don't know if that would be simply stop. We don't want to have a lot of enemies around us. I think that, you know, so you could debate the point, but I think most posts would say that would be a mechametz mitzvah. In any case, mutar latzis mechamav reshus rak al pi haachlata v'askava shabesin agadol shoshim ve'echad. You could only go out to an optional war based on the decision agreement of the High Court of 71. Right, there are different courts. The High Court of 71 was used for national issues. The next paragraph says the following: Halachos hamurs of psukim hei teches. The laws of the exemptions that were mentioned in psukim hei teches. No hagos rakum b'chemes rishus. It only applies to an optional war. Dira shadavar zeh rabus kvar b'loshin apsicha ki seit seh lemilchama l'ivecha. So it's a Baruch's point. It says, when you go out to war. So Baruch wants to say it's because it says, if you go out to war. So the first is a little bit different. He says, Zo milchemes hatkafa velo milchemes hagada. Letzorek hadifas plisha. Yeah, he says, when you go out to war. It's not when you're defending something. It's when you are going out, when you're going out to war against your enemy. So that is an offensive. That's an invasion. That's not a defense. To push off an invasion. That's the lashon of ki seitz el milchama. We're talking about when you are invading the enemy. Bemvakshim es hoye michutz gvos haaretz. When you seek out the enemy outside the borders of the land. Benigud el v'chisavou milchama ba'artzachem ala tzar tzareschem. In Parshas Baloscha, the Torah says, and when you come about, when war comes to your land through an enemy that an adversary that, I guess, attacks you. So that obviously is talking about what? That's talking about where they are attacking you. That's not the language here. The language here is ki seitz milchama l'ayvecha. V'ha'uvda she'ein medubar kan b'milchama l'tzor kibush ha'aretz. And the fact we're not talking about a milchama that is conquering another land is muchachas kfar mina amor b'psukim hei tezayim she'ein medubar sham b'balei batim v'sados. It's also not talking about conquest, because what does the Torah say? Let's say you have a field, and you have a house. You didn't build it. You have a field, and you didn't harvest it. So obviously, we're talking about a situation after Eretz Yisrael has been settled. So therefore, the Rav Hirsch says the pasuk, the indication of psukim, is that we're talking about a situation where this is a mechemes rishus. So that being said, I think that the Torah is sending us a message here, because the Torah is telling us that sometimes the Torah responds to our natural instincts, and sometimes the Torah challenges us to overcome our natural instincts in national life and death situations, and also in national life and death situations, the key for our nation is unity, is achdus. In a milchemes rishus, in an optional war, which is how the vast majority of Mefarshim understand these exemptions, there is no conscription. And it is natural to be jealous of someone else, that I may die and someone else is going to be able to get the house or benefit from the field. And there the Torah doesn't require you to change your mindset. Rather, Torah will say, don't serve in the army. So if there are enough people who want to serve in the army so that they'll be victorious, so fine. If not, then don't wage war here. It's not necessary. However, in a defensive war, even though it is natural to be jealous that someone will take your field if you die, the Torah tells us in that case, we have to overcome our jealousy. You could say, oh my gosh, this person, he is going to ruin the morale of the people. Nah, send them away. No. The Torah tells us that you have to overcome your jealousy and we need to unite. The key to success when we're being attacked is achdus, is unity. And we have to overcome our natural inclinations of jealousy. We have to work hard at it so that we're all together when our life is on the line. And obviously, wait one second. And I think, you know, this applies, you know, you think about, you know, everything relates back to COVID. I think that's an important message also. That's really the key also. You know, I was thinking about this a lot. Like, there's a lot of potential jealousy. Why is this person doing this? Why is this person doing that? If something happens to me, then there's a lot of jealousy going on, and there's a lot of looking at the other person, and sometimes it's for good reason, because, you know, sometimes we feel maybe this one's being irresponsible, and there's a lot of good reasons. But just overall, when we have these situations that are like pikuach nefesh, national pikuach nefesh situations, we have to work. Again, I don't want to get into specifics about this case, because obviously it's a broad case, broad topic. We have to work harder than normal to achieve achdus. I think that's the point. When it's an optional war, so if there's, okay, so then, you know, we'll send people home. When it's a case of mamish pikuach nefesh for the nation, we have to jump over hoops and we have to fight against our natural inclination in order to achieve achdus.